I'm going to start with a lie. When I wrote this poem, it wasn't much of a lie, it was a little bit of a lie. But everything changed, so it really is a bit of a lie now. I didn't move to Australia till the beginning of 2010, and when I first arrived in Geelong, there'd been a drought for 10 years, or at least 10 years. It was very, very dry. But not long after I moved there, the drought broke. So that's why this is a bit of a lie. I decided to do a comparison between Wellington in New Zealand and Geelong in Australia in terms of what it was like to try and get the washing done. Because Wellington is a lot like Ireland. It rains a lot. It's incredibly windy. And it's very, very green. I really appreciate the green here. I love the green here because it reminds me of New Zealand. A comparative study of wash day. Wellington, New Zealand, and Geelong, Australia. Wellington. Some people lose sunglasses, keys, lovers, but how many contact lenses have I lost to windswept washing? Geelong. Fallen eucalypt branch, again, over the washing line. My feet grind seeds, leaves into dry red brick. Wellington. Outside the window, my clothes on continuous wash cycle. Geelong. Blessed are the clothes, for they shall inherit the line's earthy signatures. Wellington. Fitted sheet sailing. Geelong. Shirts hang dead from the line, no noose or peg required. Wellington. Online game, run in and out, dodge the rain. Geelong. Everything dries. I think I'll die of boredom. Wellington. Tuis. Laugh, cajole. Splat sticky brown seeds over my car, my washing. Geelong. Galapu falls like the pellets of small mammals. Hang pillow slips like Christmas stockings, and they shall be filled. Wellington. Hang it all on a horse for 4 days, four being the number of death and foul odours. Use the dryer. Geelong, like the woman from Snowy River, saddle the horse overnight. If 4 minus 3 leaves you mathematically challenged, use the dryer. Wellington, like black pine cones, starlings on darkening branches, see them lift and sweep towards the island. Geelong. A raven caws and caws, scares my spotted turtle doves. One still eerie call I do not recognise. Have all of you ever seen penguins in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the smallest and cutest penguins of them all are called the blue penguins, and we get them in both New Zealand and Australia. We get them in Wellington crossing the road at dusk, coming up to nest under houses and around the little bay, and their little penguin signs, because you've got to slow down in case you run them over. But in Victoria, you get huge numbers of them, and one of the favourite tourist destinations is Phillip Island on the other side of Melbourne, where you get thousands come up every dusk at Summerland Beach, And I'd seen penguins before, but I hadn't seen them in such huge numbers, and they actually look like commuter traffic, everyone going home for dinner, but they're all learner drivers. You're trying to drive manual cars highly unsuccessfully. And most of them are coming up from the sea, but you also get a few pregnant females who are trying to go the other way against the traffic, because at dusk they can go out safely to eat shellgrit so that they can actually make eggs. And it's just the funniest thing. They either nest in holes in the ground, or they've also made wooden boxes for them because that's a lot easier for them. And because the beach where they come up is called Summerland Beach, it reminded me of that song Summertime. Do you know that song? Mm-hmm. So that's how this poem came about. Little blue penguins. Here they come, rush of learners, jerky gear shifts, and no idea about cruise control. It's a wonder. There one goes, tiny tailgater, bouncing off a back bumper. The old mama driving the other way. She don't need no GPS. She's just heading out for shellbrook, some living piece of sanity. It's big lights, big city, every hole a box and dice, full of dinner time. Hush, little babies, don't you cry. The fish are jumping and the grass is high. I don't read very often. It's a pantoum set in Dunedin. There's a suburb called City Rise, which is the name of the poem. City Rise. Lights go out when we least expect it. It's your presence. Night, a body without words. We clothe ourselves in it. It's your presence. An intellect turning, breaking. I clothe myself in it. Refuse of the world gathers in. An intellect turning, breaking. Kiss of small stars. Refuse of the world gathers in. Four of hearts from the Dunedin casino. Kiss of small stars loom pink and tumble. Four of hearts from the Dunedin casino. Still you are closed like a secret. Blooms pink and tumble. Night a body without words. Here is my mouth like a secret. Lights go out when we least expect it. After. Lovers are light on the earth. They do not understand gravity. Yet as I lie draped over you with nothing, not a molecule between us, I feel like a soft, wet leaf, a piece of newspaper, wet with the love of you. We're both draped over this papier-mâché world, and nothing can separate us. The mix of our bodies, our words, all the world's affairs being recreated softly. I'm going to read a poem that about my son when he was young. playground. In the playground, a girl calls to her brother, "Look out for the Chinese boy." I look at my son. He can say bum, fart, and all kinds of body parts, all in Chinese. He has dark blonde hair. "I am Chinese," he says proudly. "When I'm an adult, I will eat my vegetables. I will be a woman." Forgot to look at the time. I always do that. There's always things to come back to the kitchen for. A bowl of plain steamed rice, a piece of bitter dark chocolate, a slice of crisp peeled pear. A mother or father who understands the kitchen is the centre of the universe. Children who sail out on long elliptical orbits and always come back, sometimes like comets, sometimes like moons. I'll leave one more for my son and then I'll finish a short one. Life drawing. Life is left or right-handed. Everything has its signature. A boy writes on walls, long leaping lines, barely closed curves, points of light and darkness. "This is a tree," he says. "Here are three knees." He eats fat brown crayons when his mother refuses him chocolate. She buys non-toxic washable markers that leave shadowy stains on white surfaces, contemplates each likeness, watches for his fingerprint in space. And I'll finish with the title poem of this, Cup. This is what we form, what we hold in our hands. 10,000 blessings, the colour of air and the sound of hunger, hot or cold, everything comes to the same end. We hold out more than we hold in. Thank you.